For a little while tonight, we're going to talk about goals for 2014. And let's talk about this in the beginning. All of us need something to work toward to motivate us every day. If you get up in the morning and you have no motivation for what you're going to do that day, what you want to accomplish, what it is that you're trying to do in your life, then you're going to have problems. And so the idea of goals that we need to set for ourselves to work toward. And I understand that that would be true in the physical life, but I want you to understand that it can also be true in the spiritual life. That we need to set goals in regard to our relationship with one another and also with the Lord. Set goals for yourself. And when you talk about setting a goal, make it an attainable goal. You know, if you started out 2014 and you said, well, I'm going to make $1 million this year. Well, chances are you're going to be disappointed, and it's an unattainable goal. And so when you set a goal, make it a goal that with effort on your part that you can attain, that you can accomplish. And once you do that, then get busy to achieve these things. You do that? Do you know what it is that you want to try to do in 2014? To make your relationship with our Lord and Savior better. A relationship that will encourage you, make you stronger, and also be a benefit to this congregation. So now, have you done that? Number one, be concerned about others. Be concerned about others. You say, well, I already am. I'm always concerned about others. Well, let's talk about it like this. In Matthew 22 and verse 39, the Lord said, and the second commandment is likened to it, thou shalt love thy brother, thy neighbor, as thyself. Love your neighbor as yourself. You do that? And sometimes, do you ask the question, well, who is my neighbor? Is it the person that lives next door to you? Is it the person that lives on your block? Is that your neighbor? No. It is anyone that you come in contact with that you can have an influence in their life. That's your neighbor. And I want to tell you something, brethren. There are a lot of people that depend upon people like us. And when I say that, I'm talking about they depend upon our example. They depend upon our effort to show them what it means to serve God. They watch us. And they determine whether or not we are convicted to our Christianity. Are you? Are you? And do you show that by the way that you live? Loving others. Considerate of others. The two last complaints that I have heard from people in this congregation is that there is not enough love, there is not enough consideration of one another in this congregation. I'm not saying that that's true, but I'm simply telling you that there are some in this congregation that believe that. And so, is there a possibility that that be true? In Acts 9, verses 36 through 41, we find the death of a woman named Dorcas. And I want you to understand that this was a good woman. There was great weeping on the part of her neighbors. And they were concerned about her passing. They loved her because of the things that she had done for them. In the fact that she showed her love toward others. She was considerate of others. And they knew that they were going to miss her. Why did they feel this way? Why were they weeping? Why were they sorrowful? Her great concern for others. Great concern for others. Are you? Are you concerned for others? People in this congregation? Your brethren? Your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you concerned? You know, we are supposed to be, and I'm using that term loosely, we are supposed to be a family here of God's people. We make up God's spiritual kingdom right here. We're a part of it. And we are intended to love one another, be mindful of one another, be considerate of one another, and to acknowledge one another. And the question is, do we do that? Do we do that? Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and shewing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. What'd she do? She worked to help her brothers and sisters in Christ. Do we? I'm afraid that too many today feel like that their only obligation in this congregation is just to attend the services. Just come. And we'll sit here on Sunday morning, we'll sit here on Sunday night, and if everything goes right, we'll come back on Wednesday night. And that is the summation of our being a brother or sister in Christ and fulfilling our obligation toward one another. Is it? Is that all that there is involved in this? It wasn't on the part of Dorcas. She was continually helping others. Helping others. You know what the major excuse is today on our part? Don't have the time. Don't have the time. Too preoccupied. I've got my job and I've got to do my job. I've got to take care of my family. I'm involved in so many things that are so demanding of my time. And, you know, I just got more on my plate than I can handle. And I just don't have the time to get involved in anything to help other people. What do you think the Lord will say on the day of judgment about that kind of an attitude? That kind of an attitude. And you say, well, and I'm going to be plain tonight. There are so many opportunities in this congregation to show your love for somebody else. And I could stand here for the next several minutes and talk about things that take place in this congregation that many of you never participate in. Never. Why is that? Why is that? Is it just a responsibility of a few? Or is it a trait that God wants to see in regard to all of His people? We have the encouragement program, and sometimes we'll have 7, 8, 10, maybe 12 that'll show up. And you may sit there and say, well, that program just don't mean a thing in the world to me. What if that program saves one soul? One soul. It's not worth it. It's not worth you coming 30 minutes early and putting out a little bit of effort to encourage somebody else. It's not worth my time. What about the things that take place out of this building that are still somewhat associated with this congregation? You ever participate in those things? Do you? Or is it always somebody else's responsibility? I want to tell you something. In 2014, we need to set a goal of drawing closer to one another, being more concerned about one another. We find another lady in Acts 16, verses 14 through 16, who was converted. And I want you to notice, in Acts 16, 15, and when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She constrained us. Is your home open to other brethren? Or do you have a closed door policy? The Bible says that God's people are to be hospitable one to another. Are we? You open the doors of your house up to other brethren? How about the devotionals? When I first came here, we had those just on a regular basis. Now then, we have two or three a year. Is your home too good for one of these groups to come into for an hour or so? Are you not mindful enough of the young people of this congregation? Do you not take an interest in their souls? Do you not want to encourage them to have a relationship with the Lord? Or do you take the approach, well, that's just too much trouble, it'll cost too much, I don't want my house messed up? If you have found me worthy, you come in and stay with me. And she constrained us. She constrained us. You think there was a difference in attitude in this time period than what there is now? Difference in attitude? Are we not supposed to be the same kind of Christians? God-fearing, diligent in our responsibilities toward one another. What's the difference, brethren? Would each one of you here in this congregation determine to be more friendlier to one another in 2014? Now then, when you come into this building, how do you come in? You come in with a smile on your face, proud to be here, and ready to speak to every brother or sister that you get a chance to speak to. Because I've had brethren tell me that so-and-so won't speak to me. They won't speak to me. And what am I supposed to say? When we come into this building, we're coming into a place where love is to abound. That we're in an atmosphere of being respectful of God's will, and that we come in here with the intent of being Christ-like. And when you come in here with a big old frown on your face, trying to avoid everybody in the building, make a beeline to your seat, never speak to anybody, what do you think they think about you? Is that the attitude that God expects us to have? Are you sold up because you had to come? Well, if you are, you just well stay home. We ought to come here because we're happy to come here. And we come in that door, and anybody that we run into, how much effort does it take to say, how are you? How are you tonight? How are you today? Shake hands with them, or just acknowledge them. Smile. It's a lot easier on your face to smile than it is to have a big old frown on it. Why wouldn't we want to do that? If we're happy to be here, and if we have the right attitude one toward another, why wouldn't we want to do that? Show yourself friendly. Are you friendly? Are you friendly? Now, I've said this, I'll say it again. Ever how many people that there are in here tonight, there are that many different personalities. And I know that. Every one of you have a different way of expressing yourself, a different way of interacting with one another. But I'm going to tell you something. If you cannot interact with your brethren, how in the world are you going to interact with them in heaven? You know, if it's a problem for you to acknowledge brethren, speak to brethren, be concerned about brethren, then how in the world are you going to act in heaven when we're going to be together forever? Is your idea of Christianity to come, occupy a seat, the minute the last amen is said, to hit that door at top speed? And you could care less about what anybody else here thinks about it. Is that the kind of a child of God that you are? And I can't answer that for you. I can answer it for myself, but I can't answer it for you. Do you show yourself friendly? Number two. Be more concerned about giving than being a taker. I see a lot of people today that always want to take, but they don't want to give. Is that you? That you are one of those people who everything revolves around you, and that you love to take, but you don't have much time to give. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou hast defended them. Let them also love thy name, be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. You understand what the psalmist is saying? Well, it's real easy to understand. The Lord is mindful of His people. The Lord is going to take care of His people. He has the ability. He has the means. And if you believe anything about the Bible, you must believe that as a child of God, faithful in service to the Lord, that your goal ought to be to understand the Lord will be your protector. Do you understand that? There are so many verses that point that out to us. The Lord wants to help His people in the hard times of life. You ever go through any hard times in your life? I know you do. I do. I go through great challenges in my life. I go through situations in my life that are very difficult for me to understand and bear. But that's when I have to put my faith and trust in the Lord. The Lord is in charge. He's going to get me through this one way or the other. One way or the other. It may not be the way I want it to be, but if I am right with the Lord, it'll work out some way for me. Do you feel that way? Or are you always complaining that the Lord doesn't do this and the Lord doesn't do that and He's fallen in regard to His promises to you and you're just really eroding your faith away from yourself? I just don't know if the Lord can help my situation or not. Sure He can, if you let Him. He cannot and will not change your will not change your attitude. But when your heart is in the right place, He'll do His part. I don't care what it is. He'll do His part. We may not always understand, but He'll do His part. Ever prayed a prayer to the Lord that you were so diligent about that His answer was no, and it was the right answer? And it took you a while to understand that that were true. That were true. Jesus is a strong Lord and defender. Let me tell you something tonight, and I want you to remember this. Your earthly friends, even your brethren, may fail you, but the Lord will not. Your earthly friends and brethren may not always live up to what they say they'll do, but the Lord will. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. Hebrew writer said it is impossible for God to lie. And He said, I will always be with you, and I will stand beside you. There is no temptation that will overtake you, that there will not be a way of escape. And yet we doubt Him. We doubt Him. Well, now, preacher, you just don't understand. I had so-and-so to happen to me, and I've never got over it. Is that the Lord's fault? The Lord is no respecter of persons. It rains on the just and the unjust. And there are bad things that are going to happen to good people. Bad things that are going to happen to good people. We've seen that over and over and over again. And whereas it may hurt our faith for a while, we have to come back from it. And I know that there are situations that happen to all of us that we do not always understand. But with the help of God, we can get through it. God never said He was going to build a hedgerow around us and there would never be a situation that would bother us or trouble us in this life. He didn't say that. In fact, Peter and Paul both said, those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh, but I don't want to do that. You remember what the Hebrew writer said? The Hebrew writer said that if the Father does not chasten us, then we're illegitimate children. God's going to chasten us. He's going to test our faith. He's going to put us through situations sometimes that it is only with His help that we can get through it. Only with His help that we can get through it. Will you set a goal in 2014 to understand that the Lord wants to help you and is doing everything in His power to do that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know the key word there? Seek first God. Seek first God. You know what that means? That means that everything else in your life comes secondary to seeking God first. You understand that? I don't care what it is. I don't care what the situation is. The Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and if you do this, I'll provide you with your needs. Not your wants, but your needs. With your needs. Can you tell me tonight as a child of God that you believe that, you accept that you live by that every day? Do you? Is that the kind of a faith and understanding that you have in regard to the Lord? What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first? It means He's number one. Everything else is secondary to His will. Everything. Your family, everything is secondary to that. Matthew 22:37, the first and great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. See, that makes it plain. God first. God first. Is that your attitude as you look forward to 2014? I have visited with people in trying to encourage them to come to the services on Sunday night or Wednesday night. And you know what some of them tell me? I just don't really see a need for it. You know, I come on Sunday morning, I partake of the Lord's Supper, and I think that is my responsibility. And when I've done that, I don't really see a need for the other. What's it a matter of? What's it a matter of? It's a matter of love. Why do you take care of your children? Why do you try to feed them three meals a day? Why don't you say, I'm going to feed my child one meal a day, and I don't feel like they need any more than that, and that'll be the end of it? No, you take care of them because you love them. You don't love the Lord? It doesn't mean enough to you in regard to loving the Lord to make a sacrifice to come and to worship the Lord in spirit and according to truth? It's a matter of attitude. It's an attitude. When you say, well, I just don't see a need for it, you know what you're saying? Lord, you don't mean enough to me for me to go out of my way to come back other than one time a week. I just don't see a need for it. And you would be surprised at how many brethren have that kind of an attitude. Don't see a need. So I'm going to stay home, and I'm going to do what I want to do. Do you not believe Matthew 6:33? There are a lot of godly people that have to believe that, because their salvation depends upon it. They don't maybe always do the best in life, and so their attitude is, the Lord's going to get me through. And brethren, that's important for us to understand. Now, we can make poor judgments, we can make poor decisions, and we can end up in a bind in this life. That's not the Lord's fault. The Lord didn't tell me that I would always be able to have everything I wanted. He said, you'll have your needs. Your needs. You remember what the psalmist said? He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread in the street. Isn't that a powerful verse? Never seen the righteous forsaken. Are you righteous? He said, the Lord will take care of them. In fact, he said, I was young and now I'm old. And I have observed this all of my life. God's going to take care of His people. Now the question is, are we a righteous person? And do we prove that by our actions, by our priorities, and how we live our lives? Did your fleshly father turn his back on you in time of need? When Sharon and I first married in 1970, we went through some tough times. Tough times. And there were times, had it not been for my dad, it would have really been tough. But he helped us. He helped us. And I never, ever doubted that my fleshly father would help me in time of need. Never doubted it. Well, what about your spiritual father? You don't think he has the same kind of an attitude? That he loves you as much as your fleshly father if you are doing his will? And does he not have more means to take care of you than your fleshly father? In the book of Malachi, the writer said, when you give to the Lord, the windows of heaven will open and the blessings will rain upon you that you will not have place to put it. You believe that? You do what you're supposed to do and let the Lord help you. Let the Lord help you. I was visiting with a friend of mine a while back and he told me, he said, my brother and I went absolutely broke farming. Absolutely broke. And he said there was a wealthy man that came to me and said, I'll help you if you'll help yourself. And he said, Dwight, I determined that I was going to put everything in the Lord's hand, that I would do the best I could, and I would see how the situation would turn out. Is that your attitude? Is that your attitude? I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to put out every ounce of effort that I can. I'll try to make the best decisions that I can. And then it'll be up to the Lord and His will as to how the situation turns out. I said something the other day about how I thought that it was wrong to gamble. And the place where I was at, they looked at me and said, you're the biggest gambler in the world. I said, what's that supposed to mean? You farm, don't you? Yeah? Well, you're a gambler. I said, oh, baloney. But in a lot of ways, I guess I see what they were saying. There are so many things that you don't have any control over whatsoever. But brethren, we've got to put our confidence in a higher power to help us and to see us through the hard times. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Isn't that a powerful verse? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 17. He said, everybody else may have turned their back, but the Lord stood with me. And He delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. If you are a faithful child of God, you think the Lord wants you to fail? Do you think the Lord does not want you to be happy? Is that the kind of a Lord that we serve? I don't think so. I think He wants His people to prosper. I think He wants them to be happy. And I think He wants them to understand their responsibility to Him. Paul said, I had a job to do, and the Lord stood with me. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. There was a man walked out of this church building this morning that I had never laid my eyes on before. And when he came out by me, he said, friend, you keep preaching the gospel like that, and you will do a lot of good. I have no idea who he was. But I'm going to tell you something. It meant something to me. I believe that's the attitude that the Apostle Paul had. And the Lord stood with him, and he delivered him time and time and time again. How about you? When I started this lesson the other night, my intent was to have three, four, five different things to set for goals in 2014. I didn't get very far, did I? But I realized that the things that I wanted to say, that I couldn't do that. But let me tell you something. Whatever your weakness is as a child of God tonight, will you set a goal of trying to strengthen that in 2014? I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I am persuaded that you know your weaknesses. I know mine. Will you set a goal to try to overcome that weakness to the best of your ability? Will you? Life is so short. We never know what a day is going to bring forth. When I go to St. Louis next Monday, I have no idea what the doctor will tell me. I have prayed about it. I will continue to pray about it. But I don't know. And it may well be that if they tell me that they need to operate on me, who's to say that kind of surgery that I can survive it. I don't know. But the key to the whole thing is we've got to be ready. We have to be ready in the sight of God and to put our trust in Him to take care of the things that we can and then allow Him to take care of the things that we can't. We can't. That's our lesson. You sit here tonight and you have never obeyed God's plan of salvation. Will you? Do you have a desire to repent of your sins, to confess the name of Jesus, and to be buried in the watery grave of baptism? Do you? If as a child of God you look at your situation and you say, well, I just don't feel like that I'm doing all that I could as a child of God, would you determine to do better in 2014? Would you? That's all up to you. I can't say. But I'll guarantee you that there are people that watch your example all of the time. And they make observations in regard to your Christianity. And I'll guarantee you that one of them is Jesus Christ. So if we can help you in any way tonight, come as we stand and as we sing.